Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
To another episode of We the People Radio. It is September 6th, Labor Day weekend. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
And I'm Kathy Grindstaff.
We've roped Kathy in again on this three-day weekend. We always rope Alex in.
I'm not.
Alex is our perennial hostage. So we're doing kind of a part two plus today, I guess, because it's kind of part two, but then we've added some people. So last week we were talking about what is commonly referred to as gas station heroin.
Kratom.
Kratom, Kathy's favorite. And we've done so many shows on marijuana and the effects and all that stuff. And kratom always comes up, but then Kathy knew about it, so I won't drag her down the rabbit hole with me, but like I didn't know really anything.
Kratom sounds like a bad guy in a video game.
It does too, doesn't it?
I think he was a villain in the last Batman show,
yeah.
Wasn't he?
Yeah, you and Alan.
Kratom.
So obviously we needed a lot more education just in case that little exchange didn't make it clear. And I discovered Dean Francis from endkratomaddiction.org. Well, that's not really where he's from, but that's where he lives now.
Awesome website. Awesome.
Yeah, and the website is fantastic.
Yes. Awesome.
Super fantastic. So we have that linked up for you today at We the People Radio. And so we have him back on this week. And we have the supporting cast, or the other legs of the stool, however you want to look at it. So Cameron Francis, his son, who kind of got the ball rolling on this whole thing, and I'm not going to wreck it. I'll let him tell his own story. And Hillary Teslick, whose name I may have pronounced incorrectly, she can square us away on that. She is the executive director of End Kratom Addiction. And also the co-founder of Quitting Kratom Support. So I also don't want to mess up her story, so I'll let her tell it. So we have all three of them on a conference call together with us. And so we're just going to go wherever they want to go this week. So I don't know who wants to start off, but how would you like to
wow.
How do you want to play it here, guys and gal?
Well, first of all, Aaron, thanks for having us back on and covering this. I mean, this really is at an epidemic level across the country. It is every day we're inundated with the stories of people who their lives have been torn apart by addiction, lost jobs, lost all kinds of stuff, and then worse, it's the death. It's like, young people, and it's just unbelievable. But I think ladies first. I think having Hillary share, I always try to make a good first impression on people, and so that usually means having Hillary speak. So go ahead, Hillary.
Okay, yeah, thanks again for having us on here, and you were correct in your pronunciation. My name is Hillary Teslick, and yes, I'm the executive director of EKA, co-founded Quitting Kratom Support. The reason that I do this work today is because I'm in Kratom recovery myself. I first started taking Kratom back in 2017, like Cameron did.
This call will be recorded.
Oh. That was just a little government message there. I don't know.
Oh, gotcha.
I'm totally kidding.
Sorry about that. Okay. But yeah, so, you know, I have been in the Kratom recovery world for about 9 years now. I was addicted to the Kratom powder first. That was a 4-year-long addiction that took half of my 20s away, but it inspired me to find people like me, because way back then, no one knew what Kratom was, and still people don't really know enough about it, but I knew I couldn't be the only one, and so I co-founded Quitting Kratom Support, and I was finally able to withdraw from the Kratom addiction, because going to detox and rehab, they didn't know what the heck that I was taking, and so was really limited on my resources, and so that nonprofit took off, and you know, we're serving tens of thousands of Kratom addicts daily at this point. But I kind of moved on, and I now work full time for Dean Francis and on the advocacy side. So I'm happy. I'm an open book to answer any questions y'all have.
Well, I guess I'm super curious. So you, it says here in our bio, University of Michigan Flint honors graduate in psychology and substance abuse treatment and certified peer support specialist. So you have done some really cool things with your time, but how did this get started? I mean, you were in your 20s, so it's not like you were, a freshman in high school, went to some party, whatever. Like, how does this creep up on you in your 20s?
Right. So, yeah, that's correct. I actually was taking Kratom during the last year of my undergrad school. So, for a lot of people, when they take Kratom, they don't really understand what they're taking, and I was one of those people. So it took about a few years for me to realize that I really had a problem with Kratom. And so it was after I had graduated with my bachelor's degree.
Hillary, let me interrupt. Why did you tell her? Tell Erin why you took it.
Oh, why did I
what
take it?
You?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so I took it because I thought that it was going to be an alternative to my anxiety medication. So that's how it was introduced to me. Yes, a friend gave it to me and said, here, just take four, because there was nothing on there's no label or anything, and so that was the first dose, and that's what got me started back then.
So it really is friends telling friends. It's nothing, people aren't looking for information about it.
No, I was not searching for anything. I mean, it was just introduced to me by a friend, like you just said. And I didn't know anything about it. And when I did research it, it was a lot of conflicting information. A lot of it was good. People were saying it was saving their lives, and that's how I felt about it for a long time, too.
Why was it saving?
Go through Hillary. Yeah, sorry, Erin. I was going to say, make sure I want you to hear Hillary kind of talk through, those next few years. It's really amazing, and as you might imagine, Erin, the number of people on anxiety, right, medication.
Well, that's
today,
I guess that's my question is, okay, so one day you're on anxiety medication, which I'm guessing was not working, or it was working, but you thought, well, this is better than pharmaceutical, or is it that whole thing?
That's correct. I was on Xanax. And I did not want to be taking it anymore because of the side effects. And I had this whole thing against Big Pharma back then. And I just wanted to be on something natural. I didn't want to be on prescription medications.
Okay. And we hear that a lot. That's really, really common, unfortunately.
Yep.
So, it's natural. It's totally fine. And yeah, surprise. Interesting. So is this something for those of us that are, pretty dumb about this, is this something you use every day, or all of a sudden you felt like, it helped me today, I'll take it tomorrow, I'll take it the next day, helping as much, so I need a little more, and it just kind of snowballs into it.
That is correct, yes, ma'am. So, yeah, the first dose, I didn't really feel anything because I had a full stomach, and so it kind of mitigated the effects. But I tried it again on an empty stomach, and I could feel that it had some effect on me. I felt better. My anxiety was decreased. I actually wanted to talk more. I'm quite the introvert, and I was productive, and I thought, oh, my gosh, this is like a life hack. Uh-huh. So because it worked so well the first time, I took it again, I take it again, I take it again, and just like you described, I developed a physiological dependence on it.
Oh, yeah, that's not great. So when did you figure out that you were in trouble? When did it go from being, this is a terrific alternative to what the heck? I mean, did people in your life start asking you what was wrong with you?
Yes, ma'am. So, I mean, it was a slow burn. So I would say I noticed, because I was a psych major and I was studying substance use disorder, and so I knew intellectually that taking more and more was a sign of tolerance, which is a sign of dependence or addiction. And so I was kind of in denial for quite some time, but you can't ignore it for too long. And so I would say about within a couple years, I knew that I was addicted to it. So about 2 years in. And I was taking mass amounts of Kratom. So on my first day, my first dose, I was taking 4 capsules. Well, and at the end of it, when I was severely addicted, I was taking 100 capsules per day.
Ooh,
and
that
so
seems like
it was
a lot.
The only thing, yes, it is a lot, and that was the only thing I was ingesting at that point of my addiction towards the end, is was just kratom, because there was no room for anything else in my body. So, you know, it was a slow burn. I lost a significant amount of weight, which people noticed, and people thought I looked great. You know, they would ask me what my secret was, and I would say, you don't want to know the secret. But, so people noticed, and you know, I was in a relationship at the time with a man who cared about me, and, he knew that I took kratom because I took it out in the open, because to me it was just like a vitamin, you know, but to him, he's like, why are you taking 12 vitamins at a time? That makes no sense. So he started to do his own research, and he found on Reddit, the Reddit platform, a place called Quitting Kratom, and he urged me to look at it. He said, what you're describing in your daily life matches exactly what they're saying. I was very lethargic. I was not productive whatsoever. So, like, the good effects that I had in the beginning were, like, reversed. Like, I wasn't doing well. I was not able to sleep very well. I would wake up sick and withdrawal. And so I took a look at it, and I was just in denial. And I said, if you want to stay with me, then you're never going to bring this up again, because I will never stop taking kratom. It's not the kratom. And so I actually lost a relationship over this. And that's not, you know, the only thing. That's probably the most striking thing. But my productivity at work started to go down. I was a peer support specialist, mm-hmm. guiding people who have substance use disorder, thinking that I was clean and sober on kratom. And so, yeah, it was not a good thing to go through.
Wow. And so just kind of ballpark, from the time you started to the time everything started to implode, how long was that? I mean, does it happen pretty fast? What's the arc?
So with the kratom powder, in my experience, it was a long arc. About 4 years in is when I realized, okay, I have to do something. So I arranged myself to go to detox, and they don't know what kratom is. I was only there for 3 days. I left. I relapsed. You know, traditional resources weren't working because they did not know what kratom was. You know, and so I got to a point where...
Like, when was
this?
This
was in 2020.
Okay, so it's not that long ago.
Nope, June 2020 is when I went to detox, and so that's when it started to get really, really bad. So from June 2020 until April of 2021, I would say, is when it got the worst. I was severely underweight. I lost 45 pounds total from this, and I am a rather thin person naturally anyway. So I got so thin that my muscles had wasted away so bad that I actually bought a shower chair. So because I couldn't take regular showers, like, it was too hard for me to wash my hair. I would have to take breaks, and so once that happened, I was like, gosh, I really need to do something about this, even if it's not detox or whatever. So I started looking for help online, and I found people like me, and that's kind of how Quitting Kratom Support really came about.
I guess my question here is, because, you know, obviously people don't know enough about it, but it has started to become quite the buzzword now, as far as recognition, and all of a sudden it's like, oh my gosh, kratom, you know, we need to ban kratom, but yet finding information on it is really hard.
Yeah, I mean, good information, unbiased information is hard to find.
Right,
there's a lot of information out there that will tell you that kratom is not addictive, or it's, you know, it's good for people or whatever, and I would encourage people to look into the authors of those scientific articles and to see if there's any interest going on there, because other studies that do not have any ties to anything kratom related say otherwise.
Right. I have a young person in our office, and she's working on doing a presentation for young people about kratom. And she's running into, you know, I've given them your guys' information. I have done a lot of research over the years. But she says it's really hard to distinguish
the benefits from the downside, you know, because there are some benefits to using kratom. But is that in a controlled environment as opposed to...
What would be the benefits?
Well, like hers of the stress reduction and the...
Okay.
All of that. So you hear about that, but how do you distinguish that to the bad? How do you... When does it become bad?
That's a good question. I mean, I would say that there are potential benefits to kratom. The people who do take kratom and they say it's good. Like, for example, I used to be pro-kratom, right? So for years, I used to say, this is helping me, right? Until it wasn't anymore. And so, I don't know. It's that's a hard question to answer because the good things could also be bad as well.
Right.
Like, yes, my stress was reduced. Yes, my anxiety was reduced. But at what cost? You know,
yeah,
I lost a lot of weight to that, and literally and physically, like metaphorically. And so it depends on the person that you ask, and it's concerning to say that kratom does have benefits because I don't think there's enough research out there to say that there is. I mean, it could be masking something. We really just don't know.
Well, it also doesn't sound like something that has a flat line to it. So you can't just use it, get that benefit at that level forever. It sounds like that goes away. You have to ramp up to,
as you build up your tolerance.
That's correct.
Right. Yeah, which makes
sense. Yeah, Aaron, there's no proven therapeutic value for kratom.
Right.
You have to go through clinical safety trials and all those things.
That's why it's not.
To establish that, but... You know, even anecdotally, I don't doubt people that say, oh, my gosh, my pain is gone. Oh, man, I feel better. Yeah, it's an opioid. You're going to feel better.
This is the same profile as all the different kinds of marijuana.
Oh, yeah.
You know, whether it's the edibles or whatever the thing is, you know, it made me feel better. I'm like, because you're high. So mostly because you're high. So
that's a blunt way to put it.
Yeah, mostly that's it.
Blunt.
It's like, what the heck? There you go. My medical research is over. It's because you're high. So when you're not high anymore, then you still have the same problem. Oh, my gosh. Well, that is... all right. So, break again.
Oh, go ahead.
Dean.
When we come back.
The fun killer is still here. So as the fun killer, I will have to... I'll just stop us for a moment. And we've kept Cameron in the dark, so we'll have to bring him in at some point. He's back there. He's like, good, I'm not going to have to say anything. Yeah, well, give it up, Cameron. You're going to.
You got a whole hour, Cameron.
You got time. Got time today. So you're listening to We the People on Labor Day weekend. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Hi, I'm Carrie Currency, CEO of the Community Foundation of the North State, and we are so grateful for the partnership of the Redding Rancheria over 20 years and counting.
Hi, I'm Jenna Berry with Raising Shasta. We love partnering with the Rancheria. They've been a huge supporter of us for years in so many ways. You know, they help us with our fundraisers, and especially when we come to planting pinwheels.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
For me, the best part of my day is when a commercial loan actually closes. The owner of the business, they finally have the cash to go do what they want to do to grow their business. They might have stressed about this, hoping it would all work, and when it all comes together as planned, it's a win-win for everyone. So I like that. I like it when people are happy, like, yes, I got my money, because it can be very stressful.
Plumas Bank. Experienced bankers. Real solutions. Visit plumasbank.com.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Hey neighbors, have you ever wondered where you can find a store that truly feels like home? Well, look no further. Grange Co-op has been community-focused since 1934, and guess what? We're not just a store, we're owned by customers just like you. Yep, that's right, it's all about community here. So why choose Grange Co-op? When you shop with us, you're not just supporting a store, you're supporting a community. Grange Co-op has what you need for your home, garden, pets, and farm. Grange Co-op, where the values of yesterday meet the needs of today.
The Kratom advertisement right there. Kenny Loggins is way ahead of his time. So, we have like a million things that we want to talk to you guys about, but we're kind of burying the lead on this deal. We need to get Cameron's story in here so that we can figure out how this, because he was the driving force to get End Kratom Addiction started with his dad, Dean. So, Cameron, how about give us your tour through the land of Kratom?
Well, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it. It's funny you say I'm the driving force. Yeah, I guess in a good way or a bad way, I don't know.
We're just blaming you, really. I mean, let's just get real.
Yeah, for sure. That's great. Yeah, I'm like. Yeah, I was the driving force, I guess. You're right.
Yeah, because your dad was like, I'm going to learn all about this now, and that probably wasn't in his wheelhouse prior.
Right. If it weren't for me, you know. I see. I know what you mean. Funny. But, yeah, I guess I'm the catalyst to all this.
There you go. That's so much nicer.
Yeah.
Gosh, I work in politics, but I'm not. I'm obviously not electable.
But I can, of course, go through, you know, my whole experience, my story. But is there anything you'd like to know specifically?
No, you tell us, because, yeah, you guys both have an interesting, all three of you, really, how you wound up dealing with this substance and the fact that you've been so productive with it after the fact, but.
Right. Yeah, well, you know, that's the cool thing about this whole thing is me and Hillary, I didn't meet Hillary until this last year. I mean, maybe 7 months ago, six months ago, mm-hmm. maybe 8 months, I don't know, whatever. But we both started using Kratom. We're the same age, by the way. I'm 30 years old, she's 30, but we found it in 2017, the same exact year.
Oh, wow.
So the way she found it was a little different than mine, obviously, but the way I discovered Kratom was I came across a YouTube video on my YouTube feed, and it was a guy that basically tries out different supplements. It's not like legal stuff. It's not like he's going on, like, creating videos trying heroin or something. Like, he basically tries out different supplements and then reports how it affects the way he feels. And so one he came across was Kratom. And this is 2017. So this is, like, before... I don't even know. It was probably sold in some smoke shops in America at the time. I was not aware of that. I've also, by the way, just preface, I've never vaped. I've never walked into a smoke shop. I didn't know what a smoke shop was at the time. I was a junior in college. So I was a junior, but in college, I went to school to run Division I track and cross country, and that was like my dream since I was like, I want to say 15 years old. And that dream came true for me, and I had a lot of success at a very competitive level. And I know my dad says it all the time when he goes around these, but I did almost break 4 minutes in the mile. Not quite, but honestly, I could say Kratom is probably the reason I didn't quite break that barrier. But anyway, so I was never one. I never used drugs growing up. I never drank growing up. Nothing, like. But I found Kratom in college through a YouTube video. And that YouTube video basically, I believe it had a link in like the description or something. So, or someone sent some comment, was like, hey, if you go, you can order this Kratom powder from California. And so that is what I did. I was like, oh, it gives you energy, it gives you more focus. And I'm like, yeah, why not? Who cares? It's not super expensive or anything. I'm like, all right, sure. So this is my late junior year. I order it from California. I get it in the mail. And I tried out like the smallest dose you could possibly try. And it was probably, I want to say like, if I get my measurements right, maybe a fourth of a tablespoon. Like super small. I was like,
yeah,
I was trying to be super, super careful. I was like, I don't know, like no one gave like a dosage per se. They're just like, oh, you know, maybe try this amount. It's not like this was some, I don't know. There were no directions or anything. It just said herbal supplement. All right, try this. And so I just took a little bit, and then I was like, all right, that did a little. I was like, all right, how am I feeling right now? And I was like, nothing much. So I took a little bit more, and then as soon as I took maybe, I want to say the amount of half of a tablespoon, that was when I felt this effect that I've never felt in my entire life. It was a euphoric effect. This is not like smoking weed. I want to make sure that's clear. This is not like you're out of your mind or like you're, it's not like alcohol. It's nothing like that. It's like I was just all of a sudden felt this, which I didn't know what an opiate was at the time, but I felt an opiate-like effect. But all of a sudden I was hooked on it. I mean, that moment changed my life. And so, for the worst. And so every day after that, I would just take Kratom every day because it would help me in my studies. So I'd go to school during the day in my classes and stuff like that. And then going home, doing studying. And then I had track workouts every day. I'd go to track practice and I'd be running even better than I ever had. Everything in my life accelerated. Like,
so were you really running better, or was that like in your head?
We lost him.
Uh oh. Ruh-roh. Alex, we've already confessed. We don't know anything. You can't leave us hanging here.
Yeah, they're still on. Give me a second. I'll try and call them back.
Okay, okay.
I think I'm curious to know from Cameron is when he said he got it off of a YouTube, what was that person on YouTube promoting? Like, what convinced Cameron to try it from just that YouTube? What did that guy or girl or whomever promise or
say? And Dean talked about that last week a little bit. We should tell people that. The first, kind of didn't mention that at the beginning, but now's probably a good time. Last week, we spoke with Dean for an hour, so that would have been on August 30th. And we'll link that show on today, but we kind of got the whole, kind of a little primer, actually, right, on what Kratom is. So we're not really talking about that so much today. I'm sure we will. But today's more like what happens to the people.
Right. And I'm just so curious. Like,
yeah, what was enough to move them forward?
Yeah, because right? these are people that are influencing our youth and our community. They watch YouTube all the time.
Mm-hmm.
All the time. So what is the draw? Like, what did this person?
My guess is, if you know, we'll find out.
I know, we need
to
find out.
So my guess is that I mean, he's an elite athlete, right?
Right.
And so he's watching different videos, like what kinds of things really could help me.
Yeah. And it's because they promote it as a supplement.
Yeah, right. It's a, like a health thing.
Yeah.
And this will boost performance. This will help you focus, whatever the thing is. Yeah. All the things that you're looking for.
Right.
And it's natural. So once it starts with that, you're thinking, well, this could
give it a try.
This could, I mean, it's, think about it. You know, how many people are using protein powder and different things like that that we never did years ago because we're like, oh, hey, this is good. Because
we ate healthy.
Well, kind of. I don't know. We just didn't have money to have junk food.
So that's really what it was.
We were just poorer. I don't know that we ate healthier. That makes it sound, that makes it sound like we made such excellent choices.
Well, I think so much of this is driven by the internet, though. I mean, it's slowly invading every aspect of our life. And if you told somebody they can't go online for a week, they would have to go to a withdrawal clinic.
Okay, so we have the call back.
We do. Okay. All right, so Cameron.
Did you call us back?
So Cameron, all right. Oh. In the land of silence there, we were speculating, what was so great about the video that made you want to try it? Like, what did they say?
Yeah. I'm sorry, can I ask, how long ago did you lose me?
It was like a couple of minutes.
Oh, wow.
3 to 5 minutes.
Oh.
Mostly like a few.
Okay, long time. Okay. I was wondering why I wasn't getting any response from anybody. Okay.
Okay, that's okay. And all of a sudden you were very quiet, and I'm like, my question isn't that long. Wait.
Okay, yeah. Wait, so do you hear me okay right now?
Yeah. Oh, good. It did go just totally silent. It wasn't bad signal. It was just...
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, we'll just continue forward. I'll forget about I said a lot of things, I guess, in about 3 to 5 minutes, but we can just get through. So ask me any question, I guess.
Yeah, feel free to repeat yourself because it probably isn't. But we were curious. Go back to the beginning about the video, just out of curiosity.
Yeah, YouTube.
What was so great about this video while you were watching it? You're like, you know what? I'm gonna get some of that.
I'm gonna try it.
Why? Mm-hmm. What did they say?
That's a great question. So at the time, I'd go to like parties here and there, very rarely, but like every 2 weeks I'd go to like a party on a Friday night, and there'd be drinks and whatever, and I might have a little bit, whatever, but nothing crazy. Never had an alcohol problem or anything like that. But so the girl I was dating at the time just came from a family that had relatives that were alcoholics. So she literally just didn't want alcohol in the relationship at all. And so I was like, okay, cool. So I was like, yeah, I don't have to do that. And so I guess I looked up a few things on Google, and I was like, oh, like, I still need to go to some of these parties and whatever here and there, but I was like, you know, I kind of still want that social lubricant, I guess you could say. And
you're a college student.
Yeah. I mean, I'm in college. Yeah, it's nothing crazy, but you know, I was like, oh, and that's through that, I guess you could call it, you know, through data bases, like, you know, you look stuff up on Google and all of a sudden your YouTube feed comes up with something that you searched or something. And so, yeah, so the video that came up on my YouTube feed was interesting, and so that was kind of my calling to it, I guess, was that I was like, oh, this is like, you know, I'm like, okay, this is, seems like, to me it seems like, you know, like, I don't know, there's so many things out there, like magnesium, L-theanine, just stuff that can, like, calm the body and give it more, like, I don't know, lubricancy when it comes to socialization. Not that I had a social anxiety problem or anything like that. It just, it was interesting that way. And so that's kind of what stood out to me. I was like, oh, this seems like something that I could just, you know, go to a party and then just, you know, sip of my Kratom tea or whatever, which is what I did. But it never at one point seemed like this was
harmful. It was literally advertised like you'd see someone advertise magnesium or L-theanine or, you know, any herbal supplement. It was the exact same thing. It was just like, oh, yeah, this is just an herbal supplement. Like, you take your vitamin C every day or something. I'm like, all right, why not try it? Okay, cool. But that's the guy in the video basically took the kratom powder in the video, and then he's like, yeah, I feel a little more chatty. Like, I feel good, you know. And I was like, oh, okay. That's what stood out to me was the, I guess, social aspect. I was like, if my girlfriend at the time doesn't want me to drink, then okay, that's cool. That's fine. But I was like, oh, then when I go to a party, what am I gonna kind of have, I guess, in a sense. And I was like, oh, this seems like a very natural supplement or whatever, dietary supplement. I can just sip on that. And, but I had no idea how strong it actually is at the time. I had no clue.
Well, it's not
and
like...
And when I first saw...
I'm assuming, but, you know, I was in that, you know, we've all been in that age bracket. And even now, you don't always go and do a whole bunch of deep dive research on whether or not something is a natural thing or not. You're not really looking like that.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm not even thinking that way at that time. Okay. Like, I'm not like, oh, is this safe? Like, but at the time, we're talking 2017, and we're talking like, you know, almost 9 years ago. There was nothing out there at the time that would have said otherwise. Like,
oh,
this
that's
is dangerous.
True. That's true.
It could have been out there on the web somewhere, but I definitely didn't run across it. I had no idea not only the risk or danger with it, but I also didn't realize how powerful it really was until I experienced what I experienced.
Wow. Right. Let's mull that over and take an actual real break instead of the cone of silence that they were overtaken with before. You're listening to We the People. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
Just when I think I'm gonna get away, I hear the words that you always say.
Hey, all my friends in Redding and Shasta County, it's your friend Gary Lavox here of Rascal Flatts. And the best part about touring is seeing amazing places like Redding or Shasta County. Fantastic people like my friend Josh Barker and Josh Barker Real Estate. Josh offers more options than anyone else, and he can prove it. See for yourself at his website and check out his hundreds of five-star reviews. Josh Barker Real Estate is approaching 25 years in the business and helped over 9,000 families buy or sell a home just like yours. Josh Barker Real Estate only hires full-time experienced agents to work with you every step of the way. If you want to make the most money selling your home on time, just remember,
sell your home the easy way. Pick the price, pick the dates, and call Josh Barker Real Estate.
Gold Leaf Nursery is open and has been serving Shasta County growers since 1975 and going strong. Have you noticed all the different colors of crepe myrtles blooming? We have several varieties and colors. Dwarf size, semi-dwarf, up to full size to choose from. And right now, they're on sale and drought tolerant. It's a great time to buy. Gold Leaf Nursery carries a large selection of water-wise shrubs and trees. Our summer sale is on now. 20% off all gallon and 15-gallon shrubs and trees. 25% off all 25-gallon trees. Need fast-growing trees 3 to 4 feet per year? Drought-tolerant? We have Polyanthemos Silver Dollar and Weeping Willows. Great for screening or fast shade. Don't miss the 20% off sale going on all summer long. Come check out Gold Leaf Nursery on Churn Creek Road, 1/4 mile from Airport Road in Dersh, across from Club Tucker Golf Course.
Well, we all have a face.
Okay, so Cameron, we were curious. We were kind of assuming, actually, that this isn't something that's, an expensive product. So back in 2017, you had to order it from, sorry, California, leading the way and losing again. we did verify that Kathy and I, we're not from here. We just live here now. But Bill, on the other hand, yep.
Well, I've spent a lot of time in Redding and Northern California, actually, speaking of which.
Well, how funny is that?
I was a whitewater rafting river guide in Northern California for, quite a few summers I was out there. So,
if everyone's coming back, let us know. Yes.
I will let you know.
We're still just 2 miles from the sun. Swing by any summer. yikes. So I'm guessing, you're a college student, you're going to order this online. Shipping then was pretty cheap, but I'm guessing this is not an expensive product. This isn't something where you second guess it because it costs a lot.
Right, yeah, well, expensive, obviously that's a relative term, I guess. But
when you're in college, who's got a ton of money?
It is, right. So we're talking, we're talking probably about $30. A bag of I don't even know milligrams it would have been, maybe 50 milligrams, I don't know, something like that, which is an amount that would, here's the thing, here's the problem here, is there's no, clear direction of how much you should take.
Right.
It's unregulated.
Right.
I mean, it's, even on, at the time at least, even on, a bottle of, magnesium or some supplement, it says, take this amount or whatever. There's some direction. It's just here's a bag of powder. All right, figure it out. So I was that's kind of weird for a dietary supplement. I'm there's no direction at all. Okay, cool. All right. So I just kind of had to Google around, what's the right amount. That's what I learned. But then what happens is, it's such a deceitful, and this is the whole reason why we're talking right now, is because this product, this drug is, especially in 2017, was not clear. There was no direction, so therefore, I took such a low amount of it, and I want to be super clear about this, because this is what a lot of our, the people that are against our mission will say, is that they don't like what I'm going to say. So basically, I took such a low amount and got dependent on this product or I'm just going to call it a drug.
Yes.
And not knowing it was. But I got dependent on it from a very, very low dose. I mean, just like Hillary said, she took, what she said, 4 capsules. And these are kratom powder capsules. This is not we're not talking 7-hydroxymethylchloroquine. We're not talking 7-OH. If you're familiar with 7-OH, we're not talking about that. We're not talking about synthetic. We're not talking about the bottle, extract-free. What's that?
Extract.
Yeah.
Extract. We're not talking about concentrated extract. We're talking about just kratom leaf powder alone. And, she was taking maybe 4 a day of capsules to begin with. That's nothing. And she ended up, at 100 a day or whatever it was exactly.
Yeah.
That's insane.
That is insane.
That's what happened to me. I wasn't taking it in capsule form. I would just put it in my water bottle, shake it up, and then it started very low. Next thing you know, a few months go by and I'm exceeding high amounts that I never knew I'd get to. But I'm that was the only way. And I want to be really clear also on this point. I was not using it to get the effect anymore. The effect I initially got, which was energy and boosted mood and socialization, stuff like that, that was not happening anymore. Those effects were gone within a few months. I was only tasting it to literally maintain feeling normal. I just wanted to feel normal. And my brain was so used to this dependence on this drug that I had to take it just to feel like a normal person. And if I didn't, I'd be in crazy pain. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's not. And then, so did other? Did you have the same thing like Hillary? Did friends say, excuse me, like, what's up with you? Or?
Well, that's the sinister side of kratom. For me, at least, yes, people can notice if you're in withdrawal, I guess. But no, I really didn't have people that were like, you know, like, oh, are you okay? Like, are you out of your mind? If I was like on it, I was normal, essentially. If I was on it, if anything, like in the early days, I was just more social, if anything. But then when I was not on it, or I was like waking up off of it, and I hadn't taken any that day, then people would be like, that would be concerning. No one really called me out, but they were like, people knew, they were like, why? Because what happened in my life was I was running track and everything. That kind of made things a little more apparent. When my workouts, I start running way slower. I can't keep up with, I can't even finish a workout at this point. And, you know, I was a distance runner, so we were doing, like, you know, running around the track, like, you know, 50 times in a workout, doing, like, 400-meter repeats or something. But it was becoming very obvious. Like, I was running horribly. And that wasn't even because of withdrawal. That was just because the kratom eventually got to a point where I didn't have that social aspect. I didn't have that energy. I didn't have that focus. I didn't have any of the things it first gave me. All of a sudden, it was my best friend and then became my worst enemy, is essentially what happened. Mm-hmm. And so, but yeah, it's one of those things, though, when it comes to just using it, no one really notices unless you're not using it, or if you're in withdrawal from it, then people will notice. But it's not one of those things that you look like you're out of your mind, you're high or something like that. So it's a very sinister drug in that way.
Kind of just goes from kratom to crater, and yeah, everyone's...
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah, so, as you guys have, you've dealt with a whole lot more people who have had interaction with this than we have, obviously. Is the time frame super individual? You know, addiction.
That's a good question.
I mean, you know, like alcohol and different things like that. Addiction is some people can mask it for years and years, and other people, you know, implode pretty quickly. Does this have any consistency?
I would love to hear what Hillary has to say on that as well. But I would say for myself, I mean. You know what, that, I think, I'm not sure, to be honest. I know it was, I could say within 2 or 3 months, I had dependency. But I don't know what she would say to that.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree. So, I mean, it varies and it doesn't at the same time. So, I'm referencing my nonprofit Quitting Kratom Support. For Kratom Powder specifically, it's very similar to me and Cameron's stories. They love it for quite some time until they don't. And so it's really slow and insidious, kind of just like we're describing for most people.
Dang. And then just out of curiosity, is this like a lot of other things? Does it move into something else? Do people start using other things with it? Like, oh, if I just added some whatever that would make it better? Is it one of those kind of deals?
A polydrug addiction. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Didn't know the lingo. Polydrug. Thank you.
Polydrug, yeah. Is that, Hillary, was that you? Is this a polydrug I can hear?
Yeah, I mean, I never had a problem with alcohol before I took kratom. When I was on kratom, I wanted to feel even better, so I would start mixing it with alcohol to see if I could feel even better. And so, and I know Cameron shares a similar story with that, too.
Yeah, absolutely. So, this can't be, I mean, this is like, there's something very true to this. So, I talked to a person recently, probably a few weeks ago, and cocaine, he was a previous addict to cocaine, and he talked about how cocaine, like, did this thing to his brain that basically wanted him to just do every vice possible. It's like you take cocaine, you do one of the craziest stuff. I've never taken cocaine myself or used it. But he talked about that, and I was like, yeah, kratom actually did the same thing to me. Not that I don't know. Maybe it's worse. I don't know. I basically, it did open my mind up to, like, it wanted me to, like, drink way more. So, like, as soon as I got to a point, so, history, when myself and my college girlfriend broke up, we ended up breaking up my senior year, not because of parade or anything like that. We just did. And after that, I was like, oh, okay, so no one else in my life now is telling me I'm not allowed to drink or something.
Oh, and that's so right. Like, she was the governor on the whole thing.
She was the one who told me to drink. Yeah. The governor, yeah. And so I was like, but then Kratom, I realized once I had that kind of, I hate to call it freedom because it's not freedom, but that sense of freedom, like, oh, now I can go, you know, drink. Like, I never had a drinking problem before with Kratom at all. Nothing. There was no issues with that. And then as soon as I had Kratom in my system and then started drinking, it was no longer drinking every, you know, 2 weeks. It was like I realized that alcohol combined with Kratom was a whole different euphoric effect. Like way bigger euphoric effect in my brain. And so therefore I felt like Kratom actually was like the gateway to allowing me, or not allowing, but like making me want to try doing other things more, I guess. So, like, I ended up drinking a lot more when I was on Kratom. And then when I was off Kratom, I've had stints of sobriety from Kratom. I really didn't care to drink much. It's kind of interesting how it works, but I don't know. I just, but yeah, it definitely opened that gateway up for sure to make me want to use more things. Never used hard drugs or anything, but just.
Wow. Yeah. Yes.
Aaron, I'll just add real quick, if you listen to that podcast I mentioned last week with Dr. Stephen Lloyd, he's the one that Michael Keaton plays him in Dope Sick from episodes 3 to 6, his real life experience. And, you know, he says with opioid addiction, what happens is you just reach a point and you don't care anymore. You really just don't care. And so, yeah, it's going to open you up to other things. Certainly people will take other substances to medicate the opioid withdrawal they're feeling, which is exactly what was happening with Cameron. He didn't understand the cycle that was happening, and then it just makes it worse. All just super common for opioid addiction. And that's kind of the big point here, is Kratom is an opioid. Selling it in a gas station and a smoke shop, not a good idea.
Yeah, right. Because we wouldn't do that with, you know, everybody's so worked up about, you know, pharmaceuticals, but at least we know what's in them, like it or not.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, whether you love it or hate it, at least it has a quantity. Somebody has studied it.
Well, you're taking it under the direction of a doctor.
If you're doing it right, unless you're buying it from the guy
on
the corner.
I'm curious. I know we're running out of time. Maybe a quick question. I hear California has banned Kratom.
Yes.
But you can go downtown to smoke shops and still buy it. How's that work?
Because there's no enforcement.
Hillary might say it better, but it's your Department of Health. Your Department of Health has stated it is illegal.
Yep.
And so, but enforcement's another issue, and so, yeah, it seems messy.
Yep.
Yeah. It's that no one's really enforcing this, and so we've gotten some very little success with people that I work with families. If we know that a vape shop sold a Kratom product that killed someone that they know, their son, for example, we can have them report that smoke shop and it'll be taken off those shelves, but that's just one in a million.
And someplace else.
Yeah. It pops right back up.
We have to go away for the news, but we're coming right back. We have these guys for the next hour, so I hope you will stick with us. You're listening to We the People. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
I could be dumb data sleeping in an alley. Didn't matter to me. I got lost walking in the valley. Well, it could have been 1993 when it goes badly. After burning so bright, trying to make sense of a hopeless situation. Feels like dying in the middle of the night when it goes badly. You're alone in the darkness.
K243CT Reading.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice.
News this hour from Town Hall, I'm Mary Rose. President Trump will appear at both nights of the Republicans' midterm convention in Dallas on September 9th and 10th. Convention spokesman Zach Kraft tells the Salem Radio Network the event will showcase the president's accomplishments.
This midterm convention is a reminder to the American people of what is at stake on the ballot in November. You know, this is many 2 years ago, the American people voted overwhelmingly for President Trump to secure the border, to tackle Biden inflation, and he has done that. He has secured the border. There's no longer millions of illegal immigrants pouring in here from countries all over the world. You know, he delivered the largest tax cut in history.
The convention will take place at American Airlines Center. The Republicans are warning Colorado voters about a ballot measure they say could undermine the state's economic success. Correspondent Richard Boyd reports.
Colorado's low 4.4% flat income tax and taxpayer spending limits helped fuel years of growth. But a proposed November ballot measure would nearly double the top rate for high earners and many small business owners. Supporters call it fairness. Critics, including Democratic Governor Jared Polis, warn it could turn Colorado into another high-tax California. The conservative nonprofit organization Unleash Prosperity vows to work with Governor Polis in fighting the ballot measure. Richard Boyd reporting.
U.S. Envoy Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner say they are very encouraged by initial round of peace talks in Moscow and Kyiv this weekend. The two made the comment following discussions with Ukrainian leader Zelensky in Kyiv, and on Sunday, a day after holding similar talks with Russian President Putin at the Kremlin. Witkoff called the discussions substantive and important. Neither gave details on the specifics of any proposal. More on these stories at townhall.com.
When it comes to supplements, two things matter most: that it works and you can trust it. Larry Elder here. Rather than just tell you about Relief Factor, we'll let our customers do it. We hear from people every day whose lives have changed. We'd like you to hear their stories. Rebecca was hesitant at first, but she discovered how easy Relief Factor makes it to adjust or cancel any time. Now she says her knee pain is better, she doesn't rely on other pain relievers, and she tells everyone it's worth it. Rebecca is just one of many. I take it every single morning for my own back issues. I stop taking it, the issues come back. Now they make it easy to find out if you'll be the next person telling us Relief Factor is absolutely worth it. 3 weeks for just $17.76. Go to ReliefFactor.com, that's ReliefFactor.com, or call 800-4-RELIEF, 800-4-RELIEF. We'll connect you with our friendly local team, and they'll do everything they can to help. We hope you'll soon be sharing your story with us as well. 800-4-RELIEF, ReliefFactor.com.
The latest jobs report is offering fresh momentum for American workers and the economy.
Data center construction is helping drive hiring, but the biggest development may be the return of American workers. Nearly 683,000 people entered the workforce and 569,000 found jobs. The labor force participation rate rose as strong demand appears to be lifting wages and bringing more Americans back to work.
Correspondent Kent Lorman reports that the August report found 165,000 jobs added, along with another 55,000 from revisions to previous months. Hawaii is bracing for Hurricane Lowell as it tracks northeast and moves closer to the islands. At last check, the hurricane was packing top winds of 125 miles per hour at about 600 miles southwest of Honolulu. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. A long-lost Italian portrait looted by the Nazis has been cleared for return to the heir of a prominent Jewish art dealer.
On Friday, an Argentine court approved a deal under which the daughter of a fugitive Nazi official gave up her claim to the painting to avoid trial. The work was found last year in her home in the coastal city of Mar del Plata after Dutch reporters spotted it in an online real estate listing. The portrait belonged to Dutch Jewish dealer Jacques Goudsticker, whose collection was seized after Nazi Germany invaded the Netherlands in 1940. His heir has spent decades seeking its return. Keith Peters reporting.
Turning Point Action is expanding its grassroots operation ahead of the 2028 Republican presidential race. The organization is registering voters and building a presence in all 99 Iowa counties as it prepares for the state's first-in-nation GOP caucuses.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cudiff.
And I'm Kathy Grindstaff.
And I'm not.
Hello, not.
Hello, Alex. Alex is in charge of anything that goes wrong. We're on the
double. I get tasked with that. Anything that goes wrong.
We're here on the dumb end. All we do is talk. So we're doing a part two today on kratom addiction. It's spelled K-R-A-T-O-M for people who are unfamiliar with that. And I hope you are unfamiliar with it, kinda. I want you to be unfamiliar with it, not use it, but don't be unfamiliar with it, because if someone else is using it, I'm hoping that you can, you know, smarten them up before they go over the cliff. So we have three guests with us today. We have Dean Francis, who is here, who founded End Kratom Addiction. You can find them at endkratomaddiction.org, terrific website, because his son Cameron wound up in the emergency room. So Cameron Francis is our other voice on the line. And then Hillary Teslick, who became involved in kratom detrimentally, we'll say, when she was at the University of Michigan, and she is now the executive director of End Kratom Addiction and also the co-founder of Quitting Kratom Support. So, quitting kratom seems to be the problem. Starting appears to be the easy part, like all things. But Dean, you had mentioned before we, you know, always run out of time, you had mentioned that there were things in the industry we should get updates on. So maybe we should start the hour with that, so we don't blow it and run out of time, huh?
Yeah. Well, when I started into this, I was, as I told you last week, I was just so angry because Cameron was getting close to turning 30. I realized somebody had just stolen, you know, 8-9 years of his life. And I also became much more aware of the fact this was very widespread. We have an addiction clinic in Richmond that at the time 70% of all their patients were for kratom addiction.
Wow.
And
wow.
Everywhere I turned and asked.
What?
Yeah, wow. Everywhere I turned and started asking addiction treatment centers, oh my gosh, I couldn't believe it. Like, just in Mississippi, the former president of the medical association there, she would say all the time, and she advocates for this, that our addiction treatment centers are overflowing with people addicted to kratom. And that was probably really the right way to say it. And Hillary referenced the Reddit, it was like over 50,000 people were seeking help to get off of kratom on Reddit. And then, you know, Hillary starts the online recovery community and it grows to 15,000 people. I mean, like, there's just waves. And so anyway, when I saw what had happened to Cameron, I just got pissed and wanted to do something. But, you know, I try to be open-minded. I try to, you know, is there a way to, I mean, you know, because you kind of, I think Cameron and Hillary would say, like, they kind of make you feel like, oh, it's just you, you know? And you're just some weirdo. You didn't have any self-control, and you couldn't stop, and what's wrong with you?
Right.
You know, and they make it sound like there's millions of people using this safely and responsibly.
Yep.
And so I kind of start out like, well, maybe there's a middle road here. And long story short, no, it's a freaking drug cartel. There is no goodwill. There's no good faith. Every word out of the mouth of the American Kratom Association, which is the lead lobbying organization behind the industry, and every one of their highly paid lobbyists, it's always a lie. It's not even misleading. It's just, like, false. And one of the things I learned is that you can stand in a state lawmaking hearing and lie through your frickin' teeth and not go to jail. Like, it's really amazing. They put this front on, just like Cameron and Hillary kind of presented Kratom, the way they explained Kratom being presented to them as a plant-based herbal supplement, and, oh, it's so nice, and all this kind of stuff. That's how it gets presented by the lobbyists. And it's all about money. It's all about greed. You can't find legitimate health professionals that are gonna stand there and say, "Oh yeah, I think it's a good idea. We should put kratom in more smoke shops and gas stations." It's non-existent. Doesn't happen. Is it possible that somebody in research could eventually find a way that metrogenine, the primary compound in kratom, could one day be used for some kind of medicine of some kind? Sure, that's fine. I'm not against that. That's great. Go for it. That's called clinical safety trials. And you don't bring products like that to market.
And you got these college students for it, right?
yeah. That's like their testing ground right now, right? Is just, I would say, young people, veterans, people who have had anxiety, people that have had substance abuse. These are their targeted markets. And so, anyway, I this is ultimately what I discovered. The American Kratom Association is the group behind it. This was supposed to be a Schedule I drug in 2016. The FDA discovered it in 2014. They immediately issued an import alert notice at our borders that says it's unlawful to import kratom for human consumption. It lists out a whole laundry list of all the dangers that go with it. And of course, people say, "How did it get in here?" Well, the answer is they mislabel it. They call it fertilizer, potpourri, whatever they do. It doesn't matter. You're talking about out of our borders have 1.2 million shipments of stuff coming in per month. Okay, and so there's only 100 to 200 of those shipments are kratom. And I've had former DEA agents say, until it's a Schedule I, it's just they don't have the resources and ability to be catching stuff that's being masked like that. And so, sure enough, the FDA did its work with the DEA, put the whole case together. It was clear as day that this is a Schedule I drug. You put it in there with heroin, LSD, whatever else is, might go on that list. And certainly if you want to research it one day, you can still do that. But they did the homework. There are files in our government agencies today, and I was about to say earlier, our government agencies screw up a lot. But they did this right. We could say they could have done it faster, whatever. They actually did the work. This was all on track. It goes to be scheduled to the DEA, and the American Kratom Association, which had formed in 2014, jumps in, uses all their political power and money and everything else, and they were able to stop it. One of the people they used in that process, by the way, is a guy named Dr. Jack Henningfield. Dr. Jack Henningfield is the exact same scientist that Purdue Pharma used to promote OxyContin as non-addictive and so forth and so on. He actually put in his, 50-page analysis that he submitted at that time, and it says, and they're not exaggerating any of this, can share it with you, he said that there's no more abuse potential in kratom then there is nutmeg or chamomile tea. It was insane.
Alex shouting what from the other room. What the hell?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, and by the way, they bury that. They don't want that public. I'm now starting to bring it back going, oh, no, I'm going to make you eat this
nutmeg
every time you're in front of a lawmaking hearing now. This is the stuff that you told the DEA in 2016. You knew you were lying through your frickin' teeth. And this was a combination of things. The Utah Senator Orrin Hatch got on the call with the DEA administrator. He threatened to rain hell on his head, those were exact words, if he did not back off. And then he had Matt Salmon, a U.S. congressman from the state of Arizona, who went and got 51 signatures from other congressmen just who trusted him, didn't do any homework. They didn't have any time. Trusted him.
Nutmeg, they served that to prisoners in some jails, right?
Right.
Nutmeg overexposure.
Okay. Good point. Yeah, good point. And so, by the way, when I was talking to someone at the U.S. level here in Virginia, and it was a staff person. She remembers back in 2016, her boss signed along with Matt Salmon. He went along with it. And she told me how angry that her boss was about 9 months later, when the FDA came out and showed tons of deaths, they were all caused by kratom. And a lot of people got, anyway, so the American Kratom Association is responsible for every death and addiction and everything that has happened in our country since 2016. And then in 2018, under the Trump administration, so the first one's Obama administration, next one's the Trump administration, and the same exact thing happens before it gets the formal recommendation is made to the DEA. The American Kratom Association jumped in, met with the Assistant Secretary of Health, brought in Dr. Jack again, the Purdue Pharma OxyContin guy, and somehow, next thing we know, the Assistant Secretary of Health overrides the FDA commissioner, Scott Gottlieb, and stops the recommendation. They did it twice. And when I say drug cartel, the funding, the primary funding, without a doubt, comes from Peyton Paleo. Peyton Paleo is the central figure that was behind Spice. If you know anything about that, it predates Kratom.
Yeah. Right.
And it was nasty. These are synthetic, you know, basically fake weed, synthetic marijuana, synthetic cannabinoid, however you want to say it. It spread like crazy, highly addictive, psychosis, all kinds of problems, and a bunch of people died until eventually the DEA shut it down. Peyton Paleo and his business partner, so to speak, they were both doing it, a guy named David Gabe, who, by the way, just if you try to Google his name, you can't find him. He doesn't exist. He's a ghost. I actually have one. But anyway, these guys are, they're awful. They went into the Kratom business, and the name of their company when it started was called Opium. OPM. Opium. And it was like very bad brash. They changed it about a year or two later to OPMS because, you know, didn't want to be so bold anymore. But they are the leading, that's the leading company in the country. And they funnel money through multiple LLCs, but it eventually, this is through court records. This is all the stuff I'm telling you now, is through court records. And the money flows through multiple LLCs over to the American Kratom Association. They are a massive funder. I'm just trying to say the funding of this lobbying organization is coming from the same people that built and were selling Spice and, now have over 20 wrongful death lawsuits against them for Kratom. And then the primary scientist for the American Kratom Association is the same guy as with Purdue Pharma.
That's
crazy.
Oh,
and then the leader of the American...
that is just crazy.
Yeah. Oh, and then here's the... Yeah, go ahead.
No, we're...
The cherry...
Freaking out.
the cherry
Sorry
on top.
That.
The cherry on top. And I just texted to you, Aaron, okay?
Yeah.
So the leader of the American Kratom Association since 2016 is a guy named Matt Chaddow. Matt Chaddow was a chief of staff at HHS when he formed a nonprofit, and long story short, he funneled money out of the nonprofit illegally, okay? Like, it was not allowed to go to him. He funneled it through over illegally to his wife. It was done, like, through a payroll. It went to a particular woman, and then she gave 90% of it back to his wife. And so that was totally illegal. He then set up a speech writing campaign of some kind, and then had money go for it. This all had to do with HHS. So he used his power as the chief of staff at HHS to raise corporate money for the nonprofit because it had to do with health. And then he did this speech writing deal. This is all, by the way, can be looked up, so I'm just saying it quickly. But the speech writing deal, same exact thing. It's supposed to be going to speech writers at the HHS. Bottom line is it got funneled over to his wife. $55,000 altogether. And so he was caught. He was indicted on 7 different accounts, and he denied. None of this is true. Blame everybody. And then in the end, he's like, well, okay, actually, I'll go ahead and admit to these two. Both of the two I just gave you. And so there's 2 felony convictions against him. He had a 1-year sentence. The judge said, okay, we'll let you just do 4 months and so forth. But this is his history, but then it gets worse, okay, in my opinion. I don't know if you can watch it and decide for yourself. But by 1992, after the Pan Am flight had crashed and killed 270 people, He took a position, the equivalent of a lobbyist, and working for an American, but the American's business was in Libya. And so the idea was to funnel what would be Libyan money through to the people's families where someone had died. So he's going literally into people's homes. NBC did an undercover investigation. That's what you can watch in the video. It's NBC with Tom Brokaw back in the day. And you can see Max Haddow is sitting there on the couch with this couple who had lost their daughter who died, and they were offering $1 million to each family if they would sign on to something and agree to something so that the bombers would get would have their trial moved to a more favorable country. The whole thing's nuts.
Wow.
This is who the guy is.
Enrages me.
I just posted the video. Don't watch it, Alex. You can't handle it. Just wait till after the show.
No problem.
I did. I put it at the end of the page. So if you have other things like that, I will post them. Things we discussed today. But it is amazing how many. I mean, we've been doing this for a long time, 15, 16 years, whatever we've been at it. And I can't tell you how many times the names of people just keep popping up. I mean, the bad guys, right? They're into one thing, then they're into the next thing, then they're into the next thing. And yet the people who try to expose them,
follow the money.
No real good pushback, just, you know, you can't talk about that here.
Pouchy.
Yeah, right. It's just so much handier, though, if they keep a diary and write it all down. Actually, we found that to be very helpful. And so they're kind of getting away with it because of this. And the regulators, when it comes up, we're seeing the exact same thing with the rescheduling of marijuana. And so the people that get up there and say, hey, look, we have been studying this. We've got 60,000-plus medical trials. It just doesn't ever prove useful, so now we've got to reschedule it so we can test it, but we've already tested it, and it goes around and around, but all that winds up being silenced by the industries promoting it. We have to take a really quick break. Sorry, I'm on my little rant there. So we'll play some nice messages or some nice songs about lying. Seems like a good break for lying songs. Yeah. We're going to come back with Cameron and Hillary and Dean. You're listening to We the People. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
Your home deserves to look its absolute best. At Divine Shine, we provide professional window cleaning, pressure washing, soft washing, and complete exterior cleaning services for homes and businesses. From crystal clear windows to spotless driveways and beautifully refreshed home exteriors, our experienced team delivers results you'll notice immediately. Schedule your free estimate today by calling 530-900-3156. Again, that's 530-900-3156. Divine Shine, professional exterior cleaning you can count on.
For me, the best part of my day is when a commercial loan actually closes. The owner of the business, they finally have the cash to go do what they want to do to grow their business. They might have stressed about this, hoping it would all work, and when it all comes together as planned, it's a win-win for everyone. So I like that. I like it when people are happy, like, yes, they got the money, because it can be very stressful.
Plumas Bank. Experienced bankers. Real solutions. Visit plumasbank.com.
Craving something delicious and refreshing? Come try the new blackened chicken and shrimp salad at Charlie's Tap House, your perfect summer treat. And don't forget the big flippin' pizza, all 36 inches of it. Bring the whole crew. Our kid-friendly party room keeps you entertained while you dine. Then cool off with our homemade gelato with flavors changing every week. See you at happy hour 7 days a week from 3 to 6 with appetizers, beer and wine, and 25% off the beer wall where you pay by the ounce, local beer rotating. Charlie's Tap House, located in the Shasta Gateway. Great food, great fun, and the flavors of summer waiting for you.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
Explore, learn, and play at Turtle Bay Exploration Park, home of Reading's iconic Sundial Bridge. Discover 300 acres of adventure featuring the Turtle Bay Museum, Paul Bunyan's Forest Camp, Wildlife Center, playgrounds, gardens, trails, special events, and more. Dine at Mosaic Restaurant or grab a coffee and meal at Branch House Riverfront Bistro. Extend your stay at the Sheraton Reading Hotel at the Sundial Bridge, just steps from Turtle Bay. Day admission and membership are available. Plan your visit today at turtlebay.org.
In your ears, you turn around, come around back on you. Well, that little white lie's catching up to you.
You know, it's kind of funny. We used to call them little white lies. Now they're really, really big. We don't have any songs about that. Really big, blatant, bold lies. We need that one. In the olden days, you had to tell little white lies, but these guys are not even trying to hide it.
No, not at all.
Don't even hide it. So Dean, with, I guess, the industry... I don't know, with the amount of power the industry has on stuff like this, is it just really the stories of the people affected that'll make the difference? I mean, what do you think turns the tide on this? Because it isn't science, I guess. Apparently we don't care about that.
Yeah, we believe the pendulum has really begun to swing now. I mean, we've jumped from 6 states that had banned it, you know, maybe 18 months ago to it's now 12 or more, and there's like 2 states that are like 95% of it banned, and then there's like 278 localities now across the country that have banned it. Like, in other words, they're not waiting on their state lawmakers anymore. And that number will absolutely be well over 300 here soon. We think there's as many as 10 to 15 more states that would potentially ban it by next summer. But it's really sad. It's happening because so many people have died, especially. It's certainly the horrifying addiction stories, but it's the deaths. I'm very close, with Dr. Chris Fulstead, who will be, the president of America's Poison Control soon. And he basically shared data with me last week where, the number of poison control cases related to kratom this year will nearly double over last. So we're not exaggerating this whole epidemic, but it's causing states to take action. And absolutely, now at the U.S. level, there's a whole nother world that's brewing there. We think there's a good chance that this can all go to Schedule 1 the way it originally should have back in 2016.
Is there, I keep meaning to ask you, does any of this come from this country, or is it all imported? Is it not something we can grow here?
You can grow it, like the University of Florida does for research purposes, to try to mimic what's in Southeast Asia, but otherwise it's all imported, and 95% of it comes from Indonesia. I may have mentioned it last week, 4 of the 5 countries where it's grown, it's outlawed for domestic sales.
Hmm. And you said that a lot of it is coming in branded as something else, and then once it gets here, they
Yes.
sell it as kratom?
Correct. Yeah, they have probably different strategies, but you can't, if you just totally told the truth on it, you're probably 95% chance to get caught. So the attorneys that work on these cases, who are deep in the weeds on it, they believe almost all of it is being mislabeled or things omitted in such a way that it's just, you know, able to get through. It's a little like finding the needle in a haystack, unless it's Schedule One, then the whole algorithm changes and they would be finding it left and right.
So is this something that, like, drug dogs can sniff out, or is it just masked by what it is? Like...
Yeah, I think it has to do with the labeling, like there's which is a significant. There's a whole bunch of stuff they have to fill out.
Yeah, but our drug dogs, you know, the ones like at the borders that sniff out all the stuff. Is this not something they're not picking up on?
I don't think the drug dogs are being trained for that.
Right.
Yeah, it would be different.
Yeah, if that's not... So it's not illegal to import it, apparently.
Not yet.
It is illegal to import it for human consumption. It is.
What else would you use it for?
So once it's through, right, well, you could still be searching. That could be legitimate. There could be, no. Like, you could, import it and use it for research. That would be okay, all right? But that would, you don't need to get tons and tons of it.
Yeah, right.
You cannot. It is absolutely unlawful to import for human consumption. And then, if you go to the FDA website, it's really clear. It says it is unlawful to market kratom for dietary supplement, food additive, or a drug. It's very, very clear. And then people are like, "Well, then how come they don't enforce it?" Well, they went to twice in 2016 and 18, and the American Kratom Association, did what it did. Now, but the FDA has not changed its view. It has not changed its stance. It's very clear that this it can cause respiratory depression, neonatal withdrawal, addiction, psychosis, seizure. It's all there. It states it very, very clearly, and it warns people do not use it.
Wow. So, Cameron and Hillary, either one of you. Are you finding, now you're old, now you're like 30, so now you're old people? you no longer have any credibility as youth. You're too old. Because isn't 30 the new 60, or is it the other way?
I think it's supposed
to be the other way.
I don't know,
way.
You told me. The other 30 way. To be 20. I love being 30. Who's that? Is that Hillary?
I vaguely remember that. When you guys look at this and you look at the way it's being marketed to folks that are in the age group that you were in or earlier, do you find that it's being marketed to, like, high school now? I mean, is it because now it's kind of more prevalent depending on where you live?
Yes. So, I mean, since 9 years ago when I first took it, so many things have come out and the marketing is just getting more and more disturbing. So I don't usually go into vape shops looking for it anymore, but I see a lot posted, and it's, like, bright colors. You can't even really tell what's in it. I would say yes, it's definitely marketed to youth more so these days than before.
So when you got involved with Kratom, you were in college. Was it prevalent in college at that time? Were a lot of people doing it, or was it still kind of fringe?
No.
It was very fringe. I didn't know a single soul besides the friend who gave it to me. And years, I didn't know anyone until I created Quitting Kratom Support. It was not popular. No one knew it.
So, Cameron, you ordered yours online. Hillary, did you have to get it online?
No. So I went to a smoke shop. I went to Wild Bill's Tobacco for my Kratom.
That's where we differ, I guess. But yeah, because I didn't know even what a smoke shop was, to be honest, at the time. But I guess it was being sold there. I'm assuming it was. If she found it was at a smoke shop, I'm sure it was around me. I just didn't pay attention to that when I was driving around town.
Right.
But so yeah, I ordered mine online. She found hers at a smoke shop, but. What's funny about this whole thing, and not really funny, it's interesting, but...
Funny, strange.
Until, until I, like, discovered Kratom, you know, Kratom was irrelevant to me, like, obviously, out of my mind. But now, then, you know, after I started using Kratom for, you know, a year at least, or maybe less, but now I drive.
It's Cameron.
Uh-oh. It's Cameron. Anybody there?
To blame Cameron. Cameron.
The call got dropped. Let me get him back on. And Aaron, you left the Google Meet.
What?
You left the Google Meet.
I did?
Yeah. So I'll get him back on. Hang on.
Everything has fallen apart.
Well, if you type in Kratom online,
blew up.
Yeah. There's tons of places that sell it. I mean, yeah. you can...
Well, and the packaging is just...
I noticed that. The packaging is all very colorful, psychedelic.
So
you
it's
know,
like
it's,
the THC stuff.
It's like, yeah,
same,
exactly.
Same deal, you
same
know?
Same deal, same deal.
Well, why wouldn't they follow a different... Why would they follow a different business plan when...
You're going to make me go to it.
Pot's been so successful.
Kathy's cruising the smoke shops this afternoon.
Yeah.
You heard it here first.
Yeah, I am.
Oh, they list them out. I typed in Kratom in Reading, and there's like 6 or 8 shops that came up that sell Kratom.
Yeah.
But it's supposedly not legal in
California.
Yeah. Right?
Yep. But nobody's enforcing it. Number one issue.
What? Just out of curiosity, do we know what the penalty is? Because it's kind of like the commercial marijuana growing. It's if it's on private property, it's a misdemeanor. So, you know, why not make gazillions of dollars and pay your $500 fine?
Exactly. And that's really what it is here in California. It's like a misdemeanor, $1,000 fine. Oh, my.
Hmm. But it's not illegal to possess it?
No.
So
you can't sell it.
You can't sell it. Wow. You got some gaps in the program here.
Well, and then...
Until we get Schedule 1.
They're back.
And then there's the massive fiction that it's not dangerous.
Yeah.
They were back. Now they're gone again.
We're here.
They're here. Hillary.
Yeah.
Cameron.
Hey.
Okay, so...
We were wondering where you guys were. Right.
Hello?
You're like, are we talking to ourselves again?
Right, exactly.
We do that all the time anyway.
So, Cameron, when you were in college, were there a lot of athletes using it or students that you knew of
Dude,
using it?
That's the thing. No. No. Like Hillary was saying... I didn't know one human being that was using Kratom. I never heard of it. Literally nobody. And even when I started using it, I don't think I've ever... I maybe that one person, not a friend, who also used it. That's it. I mean, I'm talking about, like, you know, 2017, 2018, 2019, 2020.
Sure.
Like, back then, I didn't know anybody. No, and it wasn't like I'd go to, like, a Kratom party or something. Or, like, everyone's using Kratom at this party. Like, no. Like, it was just my own thing. And just because I found it through the Internet, through a YouTube video, essentially.
Right.
But, yeah, I don't know how much you heard about what I was saying earlier if we got cut off. But,
back to that again.
Yeah. I was saying, basically, I didn't know of smoke shops. I don't know any of them sold it or anything like that, so I would just order it. But, all that to say, I don't know. I knew nobody using it. It wasn't like there was some community group,
so now,
like where we all like.
Yeah, so now that you are enlightened, do you see more usage within your age group? Or
100%.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And I don't even, well, you know what? I feel like I have like a little bit of a bias opinion because of my experience. I've gone to a lot of medical detoxes throughout my experience of Kratom for like 8 or 9 years.
Right.
So I've experienced a lot of people, and even rehabs I've gone to, like 30-day programs that did medical detox and then a residential program. I've gone into these spaces, and therefore it's, like my dad was saying earlier, like, it's crazy the amount of people when you I've done 2 rehabs. My last one was January of this year, and there were so many people in there for Kratom. And my first rehab was 2020, and I was probably the only one in there for Kratom. They barely knew what it was, And so even while I was there in 2020, and this is just actually kind of interesting, when I first went to rehab, everyone in there thought that my experience with Kratom was a joke. Like, it was, like, they kind
of... Oh, really?
Not in, like, yeah, and not in, like, in a disrespectful way. It was kind of like the guys I was in there with. And they were like, oh, yeah, Cameron's here. We don't really know why. And I'm like, no, like, Kratom's, like, bad and whatever. And, like, they didn't even know what it really was. So they're just, like, they were in there for, like, heroin, you know, crack, meth, stuff like that. And they're like, I was like, yeah, I'm here for Kratom and alcohol, technically. But, you know, alcohol came after the fact that Kratom was in my life. But I was like, they, like, didn't take it really seriously. Even the nurse I met with, at one time, she's like, yeah, you're doing great. She's like, I've been telling the staff that I think, you know, Cameron just had a little hump in the road in his life. He's fine. And they didn't, no one really took it seriously at all. And they're just like, yeah, he's good. And you know, the other guys just kind of laugh it off, like, ha, Kratom, something you buy at a smoke shop, so, if that's your problem, you don't need to be here.
Yeah, but if he had gone in and said, I have an opiate problem.
Yeah, that would be way different, right?
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
You'd be in the club. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be in the club, exactly. Exactly. And then,
like,
but then
no,
you're
not
forward.
In the addiction club. You're taking kindergarten chemical. You're sniffing.
Right.
Yeah, you're eating
exactly.
Paste. Yeah,
there's
exactly. A paste eater. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
well,
sniffing markers or something.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and then you could, but you fast forward to 2026 when I went to another rehab, you know, this is 6 years later, and I go in there, and literally, I'm not kidding you, probably 60% of the 30 people there were all coming off of Kratom. And besides that, it was heroin, it was meth, it was this or that.
Right.
But literally, most people were all Kratom. It was crazy. And everyone knew what it was. All the nursing staff knew, was super familiar with it. But this is like the span of 6 years we're talking. And like, it picked up so fast. The Kratom industry, the way they advertised, everything exploded within those 6 years. And everything's stronger now. They got synthetics. Right. They got, everything. So it's that I find that very interesting to be the case, because no one knew of it back then, but now everyone knows of it, and now everyone's on it.
Well, so, even anyway. Here in our community, our little small community, that's like the buzzword right now is Kratom.
Oh,
like
really?
Everybody's
really?
Talking about it. Yeah. Mm. Talking about it like good or bad?
Bad.
Okay. But, I mean, it's like when we were talking about the opiate epidemic and fentanyl, and now it's Kratom. And I feel like every drug, we go from marijuana to opiates, and now it's Kratom. And it's always going to be something.
Is it prolific in the high schools now? I mean, if you have to be 21, are those kids still able to get it whenever they want?
Yes. So we've heard reports of kids waiting outside of gas stations and asking adults to go and buy a Feel Free, which is a Kratom product, and the adult complies because they don't know what it is they're buying. It looks like a $5 energy shot. So, yeah, it's in the middle schools even, too, I've heard from our community.
So it's liquid?
A 15-year-old boy just died recently.
Feel Free. How did he die? Like, what kills them? Heart? Kathy says heart.
Liver?
Yeah, it could be. I don't remember his specifics. I just remember that he had started with marijuana, and then someone's like, hey, how about some Kratom? And, so anyway, there's so many of these stories it's hard to keep up with. I think I shared with you last week what's pretty common is the Kratom, it says this on the FDA website, Kratom actually inhibits liver enzymes that are necessary to break down commonly used prescriptions and over-the-counter meds.
Oh.
And if you've got anxiety meds, other, you know, even Benadryl, you start mixing this, it may not be the first day, but in time, it kills people. And so usually the death certificate will say,
mitragynine, which is the primary compound, intoxication or something like that. But it's going to reference the mitragynine as what's killing them. And the CDC website, they show, if you have to do the math, you have to kind of add up a year, but 5,208 deaths that were reported over 5 years, from 1999 to 2004, where kratom was present. But that did not include California, Texas, or Florida. And they also acknowledged that a lot of labs weren't even testing for it. Mm. So you just do a little bit of math. You can definitely say there's been well over 10,000 overdose deaths, because that's how they're labeled. They're not just deaths, they're overdose deaths. Where kratom is present. Now, getting into the detail of the exact cause, well, it's hard to say, but not all of them.
And it all depends on where you are and what they're looking for,
they call that misadventure. Misadventure.
Well,
yeah.
It's a mile of death, because 5,280 feet in a mile. Every time you say that number, it's a mile of death. Got to take a quick break, unfortunately. Going to be right back with our guests, Hillary and Dean and Cameron. You're listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
Staffing issues or HR red tape stop you from growing. The most successful businesses are those that have mastered their HR and staffing needs, and they have done it with O2 Employment Services. Finding qualified help is harder and more expensive than ever. HR regulations are getting more and more complex and confusing. For over 20 years, O2 has been providing the foundation successful businesses need to grow, assisting employers with their HR, payroll, workers' comp, benefits, and staffing. Partnering with O2 gives you the expertise you need to manage your business and employees. Outsourcing your HR and staffing is no longer a luxury. It's a necessity for successful businesses, and it is more affordable than you think. Let O2 show you how we can help you reduce your HR complexities, hire the right talent, and get back to growing your business. Call O2 today at 530-223-4674 or visit us online at o2es.com.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. Have you been affected by some of the recent changes in business ownership here in Shasta and Tehama counties? These changes follow a national trend where national companies buy up locally owned small family companies and change the culture and staff and pricing of their product. That has occurred here in the North State also. Three locally owned propane companies have been purchased by large national companies. If you're like me and you prefer to deal with locally owned companies, you may be interested to know Shasta Gas Propane, which has been around for 28 years, now has the third generation working in the company. For locally owned, family operated service and care, give us a call at 530-365-3793. Thank you.
So I just want you to know we used the last 2 minutes productively. We tried to figure out how to buy kratom online. It turns out we didn't want to give them our information, so we still don't know.
It was pretty easy, though. 50 simple.
Yeah, how far into those websites you want to get before you get a mile of spam and emails every day?
Exactly. There's a bunch of hackers out there, for especially when it comes to this, probably.
I would imagine. Kathy learned last week, Dean, after we spoke, we wondered if they were drug testing it for sports. And they are not.
It actually, when I read about it, it said that they could, but the test costs so much, so it makes it cost prohibitive for schools to test for it.
Of course it does.
It doesn't come with a 12-panel drug test.
Right.
I know that.
Right. Right.
Yeah, because we were curious about that last week. Wondered if that was a thing. So in our last...
Speaking of the website...
Yes?
Speaking of that, if you... some of them, like OTMS, would be an example. If you dig a little bit, like under warning terms and conditions, it's usually under terms and conditions or like warning, some warning area. Now, it's deeply buried into these websites. But if you actually pull it up, which, of course, no one does, but if you do, it actually warns that this can cause death and all the things that we're talking about today, like really clear. And, you know, what is insane is that it'll also say, do not take this product for more than 5 days in a month or something like that. So a lot of these websites, they've been adding those because the lawsuits are mounting and they're looking for ways
to use the disclaimer to make them look good. Yeah,
but as you can imagine, that's somebody, you know, in a smoke shop reading, going to the website and reading any of this, that's not going to happen. And even people doing what you just did, going on their website, like who's going to go and dig in and deep, you know, find that? But it exists. It's really crazy.
And I notice a lot of these websites all kind of sell the same product, too. So I wonder how much of this is coming from one supplier. And,
that's correct.
Yeah.
There's a handful of them, and they're all under Peyton Paleo.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, in fact, if you want to hear more about that, it's on one of our podcasts. If you go to our YouTube channel, just put in at End Kratom Addiction, no spaces, just at End Kratom Addiction. And you can see an interview I did with some of the attorneys that have dug into exactly who they are.
Hmm. So where do you think we are now? I mean, now that you have people that are in, addiction, recovery and all that, I guess maybe this is a Cameron and Hillary thing. So you guys were kind of the front runners. They kind of minimized you like you were, you know, eating paste, as we discussed earlier. So now that they figured out it's a real drug, people do get addicted to it. They do have to go to, you know, get help. Is that more commonly known, or is it still minimized at the rehabs when you guys do your homework there?
Cameron, you should answer that one.
Yeah, I was going to ask you if I could do that. Yeah. Being the fact that I have been to a rehab clinic within the last 9 months, I can speak to that. Kind of similar to what I was saying earlier, it is so prevalent. Kratom addiction is so prevalent in these clinics. Like I said, I think I met 60% of the people there and those people were addicted to Kratom or whatever version of Kratom. I mean, I've met there's some people in there, and here's what I want to make very clear. The other side, the pro-Kratom industry, is going to say that anyone who gets addicted to Kratom, it's not just pure leaf Kratom. It's actually 7-OH, which is this synthetic form. And I'm like, that is not true. That is, 7-OH came out about a year and a half ago, somewhere around there. And it is extremely powerful. I mean, it is stronger than pure leaf Kratom. And so, yes, I guess you could say, it has a higher volume of addiction. But I'm like, I got initially addicted to pure leaf Kratom in my journey here. But at the same time, I have met people in rehabs or even medical detox clinics who are coming off of Kratom powder. Pure leaf Kratom powder alone. That's it. Not We're not talking about extracts. We're not talking about synthetics, 7-OH. Like, literally the pure leaf kratom alone people are coming off of in these clinics. So I can at least say that. And then I, go ahead. I think I had another thought, but I'll let you go. Yeah.
Yeah, if you go to our YouTube channel, the podcast we dropped last week is with Dr. Stephen Lloyd. Again, he's the same person that Michael Keaton plays in Dope Sick. And we talk about exactly that. He says it this way. This idea that 7-OH is the problem is crap. I mean, he just kind of comes, they're constantly blame shifting onto other things. They always have stuff. Blame. And so, bottom line is kratom is produced in the body. I'm sorry, 7-OH is produced in the body when you consume kratom. So I take the kratom, the primary compound of chondrogenine, when it goes through my liver, part of it is going to be converted into 7-hydroxymetrogenine, now nicknamed 7-OH. And it is more potent than morphine. It's going to bind to my opioid receptors. That is where most all the opioid effects are coming from. And so the only thing to change was a couple years ago, a different group of people said, the body is producing 7-OH. I wonder if we could produce 7-OH outside of the body. And that's all they did. It's the same molecule. They figured out how to oxidize kratom and put in a tablet. So, yes, so Cameron and Hillary may have taken a few months to build up that dependence and addiction using the powder. Extracts might be a matter of weeks. A 7-OH product that is that concentrated could be a matter of like 2 days. So
it's
another
level.
So is the 7-OH is that being sold in smoke shops as well?
Yes.
Well, yeah, yeah.
For now,
exactly.
For now, the government and the DEA has a scheduling requirement that's going to come out that should prevent that. But that's the problem. It's not going to stop the underlying issue. This has been going on. Far longer than that.
That only stops the chemical compound, not the stuff that you guys were both using.
Correct. Like, Hillary can speak to this as well, but, like, I first, you know, when I discovered kratom, it was the kratom leaf powder. Okay, fast forward 5 years, now it's the extract bottles, like 5-hour energy looking things.
Mm-hmm.
And then those are stronger. And then 7-OH came out in, like, 2025. Or late 2024, and then I was on that. But, like, the majority of my kratom addiction has literally been 5 years of the kratom leaf, pure kratom leaf powder. And the other side, the pro kratom, want to say, oh, you weren't, there's no way you could get addicted to that. Well, in my experience, they're wrong.
Yeah.
I know someone who has the same experience.
And I'll add to that, Cameron. So there's what's called the Kratom Sobriety Podcast. And they have interviewed 106 people now who have all been addicted over, like, the last 3 years or whatever they've been doing the podcast. And 47% of them all were addicted to just the powder form. This is the part that Cameron and Hillary did. This is technically the least robust, but it doesn't change. But bottom line is kratom converts in the body to an opioid that is stronger than morphine. It's called 7-hydroxymetrogenine. If you take it, according to the American Psychiatry Association, you are likely to become dependent. It's not like, will I not? You're likely to. Now, if you take breaks, I've heard actually people coach people, like, take it for just a little bit for 5 days and stop for 5 days. Okay, yeah, that would probably work, but to make sure you're not taking any other medication. And then you better get your liver checked. You do that long enough because it's also liver damage is possible. There's so many things that are just unknown.
So because of the patchwork of laws, so it's legal in some states, not legal in others, that whole thing, is the 7-OH just, I mean, because what we're looking at with, like, the marijuana thing is why not just vape the THC? Like, why go through the hassle of, you know, smoking it, blah, 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 blah. Just get the cartridges and vape the THC, especially the stuff that has no smell. Shoot, you can do that, you know, anywhere in school or whatever. No one will even know. So is that what's happening with this?
With the 7-OH?
Yeah. Is that the 7-OH thing? Do people just start with that because it's easier?
Well, I can. So, go ahead.
it depends. So some people start on just the 7.0, but I know a lot of people. So 7.0 has been marketed to be cleaner than Kratom. I've heard a lot of people say that. And they say it's much easier to take than 100 capsules, right, if you take one tablet. So that's the appeal. There's no smell to 7.0. So, yeah, it's akin to that.
It's the same thing.
It's the same thing.
Is the 7.0 is...